Hello.
Hey.
So this is I'm Actually Comics.
Yeah.
I'm Tristan.
And I'm Bob.
And yeah, the cat unplugged us in the middle of in the middle of doing this. So
spoilers.
So I know. I'm sorry. So we're redoing it. Yes, these are going to be the comics that you're going to be seeing on Wednesday, April 25th. Today is Tuesday, and this is a nice. We're doing a little overview, a quick overview of all the books. Not in depth.
Nothing in depth. If you want an in-depth analysis of comics that are out tomorrow, you know, there are places to go on the internet to find that. But we are here to let you know what is coming out and to talk about things that we're excited about and hopefully not get turned off by the cat again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because this is take two. We went for a few minutes and ultimately here we are at a new beginning. And we were talking about...
We were talking about something we were very excited about.
Yeah.
So just jumping right in. This week, Savage Dragon 233. It's got a little bit of a stupid cover.
I mean, but you know what?
Let's lead with how excited we are about Ben Bishop doing an awesome backup. This is... He's doing... basically an old man Logan for Savage Dragon.
Yes.
With a twist. There's some sort of little, like, to call it old man Logan is a little misleading, but it's very cool.
So local comic artist Ben Bishop has been published this week. Sees the publication of the Savage Dragon issue, which he has drawn the backup story in, and it features a Savage Dragon centric story and a character that was created character that was created by Ben when he was a child.
Yes.
As an inspiration by Eric Larson. And
yep.
And Eric Larson is his usual completely over the top crazy self.
Yes.
And you in this issue get a backup drawn by Ben Bishop, which is the most exciting thing.
It's very cool. And also, it was really nice. Eric also allowed him to make the back cover just for his character, just a mock-up of a cover for his character.
You know what I would suggest is flipping it so that the back cover is... Because honestly, the cover of this is like... I mean, maybe mildly problematic for various reasons, depending on, you know... But like, you just flip it over, you got this sick Ben Bishop...
Yeah.
Sword hand guy named Switchblade, and I do like that he is the hero who can handle it.
Jesus Christ. Ben actually sent me that when he was working on it, and I was like, yeah, that is a pun.
That is a thing. But it's awesome. It's awesome. You know, it is an 18 plus comic. Should that be mentioned?
No, it shouldn't because it really isn't an 18 plus comic. just David looked at the cover and said, "This is an 18 plus comic," and slapped it over her vagina. So it was like,
"Yes,"
making it look much more offensive than it actually is, as it turns out.
And just for the benefit of people who can't see this comic, it's just the cover is Savage Dragon, who has a goatee now, is holding a woman, and it says, "I flipped it over." What does it say?
His girlfriend, wife,
TV, shave it.
It says, "Bald is beautiful" on her shirt.
Bald is beautiful, and then she's like naked from the waist down and covered in shaving cream, a la a.
I don't know.
Like adolescently pornographic Burma Shave commercial.
Yeah, basically just like the kind of thing that Eric Larson would do, because he loves to stir the pot and do things that are like mildly offensive.
Burma Shave was probably the wrong reference. Probably more
for anyone under the age of 70, might be.
Well, and also, I don't think they were known for their photographic. It was anyway, whatever. We spent too much time talking about the cover.
Much.
The most exciting thing about it is Ben Bishop, backup story, Savage Dragon 233. Tristan has plenty of copies on the shelves.
Yes. Ben, you may know from designing our logo and all of the stuff for all the Coast City Comic Cons. He did a lot of the flyer stuff and a lot of the poster art. So
a lot of local conventions. If you've gone to any of those in the Portland area and beyond, I know he does a lot of conventions. And
Ben is a road dog. So yeah. And I mean, you'll also know him. I think I'm allowed to spoil this at this point. He's doing a book. Not only is he doing the Drawing Blood book with Kevin Eastman, he's the artist on Drawing Blood. He's also going to be the artist on a Kevin Eastman helmed Turtles book.
Nice.
Which is very exciting. I mean, obviously is literally a dream come true for him, because he's been drawing the Turtles since, you know, he could draw.
Yeah, that's so really cool.
It's super exciting for him. And super exciting just in general. Yeah. Okay, so do we want to talk about our top hits here?
Yeah. So the next part, we're just going to do the books that we are the most excited about.
I've been blathering the most, so you can go.
A full rundown. Okay, so I'm going to start with Doom Patrol, number 11. It's 4 months late. It is a lead-in to a crossover that has already happened and ended, with a cliffhanger that comes out of these events. So, you know, they really kind of botched the scheduling on it, but it is the prettiest comic. I love it so much. The artist, so this is written by Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance, which I suppose at some point maybe we'll say his name without saying of My Chemical Romance, but the artist, Nick Darrington, there isn't a better artist in comics, superhero comics, or probably any kind of comics. Like, I love his style, and I love this book, and it's totally just over the top, crazy. I've been waiting for this for a really long time, and I am the most excited about Doom Patrol number 11. I really love this comic. The first trade is really good. I carry a copy of it in my backpack literally everywhere I go, and I reread it often. This is the end of what will
That's
be the second
insane.
Trade. It is insane, but I am insane. I also carry a hardcover Felix the Cat comic book, or comic strip reprint book in my backpack. I just like to have a couple things that I know I'll enjoy if I'm ever stranded somewhere I want to read. I got my Felix the Cat, I got my Doom Patrol, I got my sketchbook. What else do I need?
Okay, so I'm going to talk about my favorite thing for the week. My favorite thing is actually a superhero book, which is Mighty Thor 706. It's not a spoiler to say that this is the Death of Jane Foster storyline. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally the last comic was called The Death of Jane Foster, so I think that spoiler has sailed. This thing was a tearjerker. It was really well done. I was happy pretty much the whole way through with everything, every choice they made. It was awesome.
That's great.
And I mean, I love the story in general. I have, with the exception of Jason Aaron's original God of Thunder, probably this is my favorite run of Thor, period, was the Jane Foster run.
It's my favorite thing of
for
like
a long time.
Marvel. Nothing will ever really top the Walt Simonson run for me, but I'm an 80s.
Yeah,
grew up in the 80s.
You are.
And that's just kind of my thing. You know, when I crossed over into Marvel, I loved that stuff. But this run is really, really, really...
actually,
stop saying really. It's
but there
fantastic.
Was another. There was another one as well. Oh, shit, and I can't even think of who wrote it. Which one was the Thor? One when they the Thor run where they came to Earth and kind of hovered over Ohio?
Oh, that was Straczynski.
Yeah, I
J.
did.
Michael Straczynski.
I loved Straczynski's.
Yeah, that was good.
Thor.
Olivia Coipel did the art.
Yes.
It was amazing. So
God,
that
damn,
was
that was
oh,
a
but,
great
run.
Yeah,
I did.
And made
I like
Thor
that.
Really potato headed, which I liked.
Yeah, he still carries that look today. Really,
does.
The Coipel Thor is kind of the on-model Thor for Marvel at the moment.
His head's getting even more square as time goes on.
He doesn't look different from that in this book, in the parts that he is in. But anyway, this is a big storyline, and this is the last issue of Russell Dodderman's run, and his art is stunning, and just a really good, really good comic. Really good comic.
Awesome. Yep.
That's one.
No, you were holding up a book that I was stoked about. So
I'm going to skip it because I do want to talk about a book that I'm very excited about, but I was really disappointed in this issue. The Terrifics number 3, which is the team up book in the style kind of the Fantastic Four that's written by Jeff Lemire and drawn by I'm not sure who. Just two things to really notice with this. This series is really good. I did not love the art in this issue. They had a fill-in artist on a 3-issue arc, which I think is really weak. But one thing that DC did, and I talked to Tristan about this in the store, and I think it's really cool. They have been top billing artists on this new launch of New Age of Heroes books, some of which are good and some of which, well, most, whatever, you have your opinion.
Yeah.
I have mine. And this has a fill-in artist, but they top billed the fill-in artist. And I think that's really classy. So Joe Bennett was the artist of this issue, and it's not that the art's bad, I just wanted it to be different.
You were, I think it's more specific to say that you were on board specifically for the artist. You were very excited about this particular artist.
No, because I love Lemire, and this issue is really good.
Yeah.
Like, this issue sets up the arcing thing and with here's the next stories.
I also would say I very much like the art in this issue.
Oh, cool. I like this series. It has the War Wheel in it. And
I also love the War Wheel.
And Metamorpho is my favorite superhero character, mainstream superhero character. So, like, DC Marvel guy. So I'm always going to be on board for this, no matter if it does tank. But it's a good quality thing. I just was sad to see a fill-in artist so quick. But next issue we'll have Doc Shaner, who is one of my top favorites. So I'm really excited about The Terrifics, number 3, out tomorrow.
Okay. The most important thing that happened in comics this week happened in IDW's Star Wars Adventures, the return of the most beloved character in the history of comic books.
Aren't you so glad I found this for you?
Jackson,
the green space rabbit from the end of the Marvel Comics.
Yes.
Star Wars run, much beloved and
A character that was hated by George Lucas, the man who created Jar Jar Binks. He absolutely thought this was too much.
Yeah.
And he's in this, and there's a whole story with Jax.
Jackson.
So.
So the space rabbit from if you're a Star Wars true, there's like a Star Wars comics fan and just kind of minutiae. Trivia knower, this is a character that you can't believe ever got its own series or story. But so that Star Wars Adventures is like an animated universe style storylines within the greater Star Wars. But for some reason, it's not by Marvel; it's by IDW.
Yeah,
which I don't understand. But at the same time, second story, Jackson. Don't say I never did anything for you.
Awesome. You want to go next?
Oh.
Let's just trade off.
Yeah, okay. So Exiles number 2 is out. We talked about Exiles number 1 and how we were disappointed that the Valkyrie and that the cartoon Wolverine were not in it. Well, this issue is all them. And so we got it. And the cartoon Wolverine is not only... It's a new version of this kind of cutesy... It's Wolverine from Xavier's Playtime Fun School for Gifted Youngsters. And when they enter the world where he exists, he immediately dubs them as his new friends and wants them to come and help him liberate Pi from Lil Magneto, who has all of the Pi.
Lil Magneto has stolen all the Pies.
And it's... So there's an overall story in this that involves the Nick Fury... version that became a watcher and watches the Earth die in multiple. So he's kind of, it's gone back to the Exiles thing where they have the Talus, which is the thing that bounces them from place to place. And then this sets up the premise of the series grand, which is that they're lost in bouncing from universe to universe, which is every Exiles book. And this is written by Saladin Ahmed.
And it's the first appearance of this new, the Valkyrie, Ragnarok.
Yeah. Unless you count the cover of number 1. But,
fair.
But yeah, and she's great. She's over the top, just like the Thor movie, but not just like the Thor movie, actually. A little bit more Kirby-ish.
Yeah.
And I really like the takes on these and how this is going to kind of run. I love the concept of parallel universes, and especially when they're not just dystopian parallel universes, when it's like, what happens if... Everyone's a cat, or like whatever, you know, like that's my kind of bag. So,
you mean like JL Apes?
JL Apes
was one of my favorite books.
JL Apes, Marvel Apes, Planet of the Apes. That I like all of these parallel universes.
Peter Parker, Spectacular Spider-Man 303 is out this week.
I did not read
It's a continuation of a long running time jumping story.
It looks good. Joe Quinones.
It looks great. Darsky is always awesome.
Darsky writing.
It's a little too time travel-y for me, but it's still Spectacular Spider-Man, so it's still good.
Huh. Yeah, it's there's like that thing where you take characters so far out of their element. There was a Detective Comics that was out this week that involved like Tim Drake Robin becoming an OMAC and like an army of OMACs descending on Gotham City to build an OMAC tower. And I'm just kind of like, it's Batman, guys. Like, why are you doing this?
That's too many OMACs.
Like, Spider-Man traveling through time, there's a precedent, you know, but like, I don't know. I'm not saying that book is, I'm not passing any kind of judgment on it. It looks fabulous. The art is amazing in it.
Yeah.
But I just didn't read it.
It's great. Also, Let me just quickly throw out X-Men Blue.
Not terrible.
Not terrible.
not terrible at all.
I mean, I hate to say this because it worries me. It worries me to say things like this, but it feels like the X-Men are getting better because I love the X-Men. And
for the last three or four years,
the Dare to Dream moments of like, oh my God, are they going to start doing the X-Men in a way that I can read it again? Please, 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 please. And there have been little bright spots. I mean, Wolverine and the X-Men, that 26 issue arc that Jason Aaron did, was actually like in the middle of them not doing anything interesting, was like one of my favorite comics ever.
I didn't read that.
Oh my God. I absolutely loved it.
I might remember some of it.
And I'm really bummed out. My favorite new character that they created, who's just disappeared, was the little super intelligent Brood that came.
Oh yeah. Brew or something
like
that.
Yeah. His name was Brew.
He was cool.
He was awesome. Is he
around still?
I haven't seen him in anything.
Yeah.
Krakoa, the living lawn. Basically, their lawn was alive and it was a mutant.
Last week we had a living hedge. Now we have a living lawn.
Exactly. Yeah, so good. Oh, yeah. And Doctor Strange's hedges as well, which are also sentient and evil.
Oh, yes. Right. So rounding out my super excited about this pile is another Saladin Ahmed book from Boom Studios. This is Abbott number 4. I've talked about Abbott before. I really like it. This comic has not only a manticore, but also a minotaur. Spoils. But it's a great, great comic. And I just love monsters. But this has a supernatural plot, very Kolchak, 1970s detective in Detroit. Really solid, down to earth, but with kind of Hellblazer-ish. I would recommend this solidly to anyone who has ever enjoyed a Hellblazer comic.
I agree.
Great series. And number 4 ends with a cliffhanger. And and if you didn't take a chance on that awesome RoboCop comic, there's a preview and interview with the creators in the back.
Seriously. So just
for that.
Again, let me just state that RoboCop book, so Citizens Arrest
Rules.
We're going
to never stop talking about that.
I will never stop talking about that book because I'm so shocked that it was good.
But that's my big pile. Ooh, okay.
I actually do have another one that I'm excited about.
That's good.
We
have a lot more to talk about.
This is honestly shocking the hell out of me. Again, in the world of the X stuff, Hunt for Wolverine number 1, I absolutely loved.
Cool.
And
I liked it.
I can't believe it. I mean, again, I'm a huge Wolverine fan, but I have read so many absolute garbage Wolverine books looking for something that I would like in the last 2 years. It's hard to believe.
Well, it's that thing where they say everybody's buying less Wolverine comics, so we'll kill Wolverine and then keep him away for a couple years and then bring him back. And then like, the second that he's really back, and this is the first one where you get the story of like, how is Wolverine back? And it was well done, well played.
It was
a solid comic book for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot in it that I was really excited about. There were a lot of characters that show up that I was super happy to see. And I don't know, it was handled very well. I'm guessing it was Charles Soule.
Yeah.
Yes, it was Charles Soule.
And it was drawn by multiple people.
By a whole bunch of people. But yeah, Charles Soule, he's got some skills when he needs to. Also, when they hand him a handful of poop to work with, he does kind of fail occasionally, but it's not his fault.
The case, I suppose.
Yeah, he was. There have been a few things that Marvel was like, here, okay, Wolverine. He's got no head, and
everybody's dream is to write the Inhumans.
Yeah, he's in the constrictor suit. He's got no powers, and he can't put his claws out. Good luck.
But I'll tell you, I'll tell you this: if you can do like, because Saladin Ahmed did that as well with Black Bolt. It's like if you can pull off an Inhumans like you're good, because the Inhumans suck.
I'm so sad to find out that book was so good because people kept telling me you should read this. Black Bolt.
Yeah, Black Bolt was amazing.
The two people who were buying it.
Yep. I actually heard about it on a podcast.
Oh my God, this is really good. And I was like, I don't believe you. I don't buy. I wouldn't even really feel bad if I didn't pick up an Inhumans title. Like if one of them came out and I just went,
didn't order it for the
store? Yeah, didn't order it for the store. If I just went, you know what, I'm skipping it this time. That's fine. just not gonna get it.
I've hated the Inhumans for so long that like I actually feel bad saying anything about them at this point. But you know, that said, you know, there's
good moments. What was the Warren Ellis series?
Oh, that was Karnak. That was cool.
That was great.
Karnak was always the most.
That's like, true. He was the easiest one for some reason.
Yeah, he had a cool power. Yeah. You know, like the rest. Like actually, Black Bolt had a cool power too. Mm-hmm. But it's just if Black Bolt uses his power more than once every like year, it's kind of like you're overdoing it. You know, Black Bolt is like the turtle that wins the race. You know. Anyway, we should continue on before we overstay our welcome in the lives of our lucky listeners. Oh wait, should we? You have more excitement books.
You know what? No, I don't. In
is
fact,
this our first commercial let's, break.
This is going to be our first commercial break.
Our first commercial break ever.
Absolutely, and we'll be right back.
Hey guys, I'm sorry to break in here, but I just wanted to tell you that Coast City Comics is offering 20% off to subscribers every day for everything in the store. So if you guys come in and you subscribe to, let's say, 10 titles through us, we're going to give you 20% off everything in our store. That's pretty amazing. You should subscribe today. You can go through our website, www.coastcitycomics.com. You can come into the store. You can just give us a call. We ship stuff over $25 and we're going to ship for free. CoastCityComics.com.
All right, and we're back.
We are back.
And this is, okay, so this is something I want to talk about that is, I don't want to say that I'm excited about it because I'm actually kind of bummed about it, but so All New Wolverine, I've been really excited about. I actually really love all of the new characters. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I really like Honey Badger. I like the little girl character that they've created. She's really interesting. There's a lot of really cool stuff in this.
Honey Badger is kind of a similar character to how X-23 was portrayed in the final Wolverine movie. But, you know, a wholly new character.
And in this case, she can't feel pain, which is kind of a good call as far as, like, not wanting a child to be in massive danger and also, like, screaming in pain. It's a little much. So she doesn't feel any of the damage that she takes, unlike all of the other Wolverines. But it's a cool character.
I think
cool
that could lead to a seriously unbalanced individual.
Absolutely. But and that's the thing is that she hasn't had the horrible upbringing of the average Wolverine.
Oh.
And so this older Wolverine is basically trying to keep her on track and trying to be like the big sister character. And it's really, I don't know, it's very fun and I really enjoy it.
Cool.
And unfortunately, it's ending next issue, which is really bumming me out. But there is going to be an X-23 series, probably with a new creative team. But
yeah, but the creative team of this series is now doing X-Men Red, which is hands down the best X-Men book being published right now, and features the two characters.
God's honest truth.
That you like.
Nice.
So, you know, maybe this is a good time to pick up some back issues of X-Men Red and start at the ground floor, because that is a good series.
Yeah, totally. All right, you.
So, well, you have the stack of Marvel comics, and I have the stack of DC comics. And what we've decided is that we're going to have a American Gladiators. I guess ultimately, I'm more of a DC guy, and
I'm more of a Marvel guy. So,
I mean,
it just makes sense.
Currently, I'm really more of an indie guy than either, but I know more about DC. So, I have a stack of DC books that are out tomorrow. It's not every book that's out tomorrow, but it's some. So, let's talk about a couple of those. Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps number 43 is out. I really like the artist on this series. It's a guy named Rafa Sandoval. This is a huge series of the Green Lanterns fighting the Dark Stars, which are the ones that kill. So apparently the Green Lanterns don't kill, the Dark Stars kill. There's a big conflict, and the main Dark Star is the son of a Green Lantern that I liked a lot as a kid and is still actually my favorite Green Lantern character, known to some as a lame-ass fishy bird guy.
Oh, yes, lame-ass fishy bird guy.
His son, Tomar Tu, is the head of the Dark Stars. Anyway, I read that, and it was decent. I mentioned previously
the magic fish bird.
The magic fish bird from space. He's cool. He actually has wings underneath his Green Lantern costume. Little-known fact.
Well, wow.
Very few people know that, but he doesn't need a ring to fly. I mean, he's dead, so he can't fly, but his kid is now a killer of space and whatever.
Nice.
So that's a big storyline going on in Green Lanterns. And then there's also a Detective Comics out where Tim Drake becomes OMAC, and it goes
a one-man army corps.
A one-man army corps.
My goodness,
OMAC attack, because that's never been spoken on a cover blurb before. I was not terribly. There's a new Wonder Woman out. In Wonder Woman, that sets up the dark side thing that's going on, leading into No Justice. So definitely something if you're into the overall DC diaspora, you might want to DC diaspora. You might want to pay some attention to one thing I noticed this week with DC is they're tying up. It's like that. It coincides with when Bendis is starting on Superman, interestingly enough. But the whole Justice, No Justice storyline, which is a big thing that's coming up. And, you know, everybody's constantly relaunching and coming with new places to access. You know, it's the same people that read them, but like apparently they constantly need new access points. But I think ultimately what they're trying to do is bring in lapsed fans. So this is a kind of an ending and leading into a beginning. There's a Flash comic that's out that features Wally West prominently. There is a Justice League of America comic. There is a Titans annual whatevers to most of those. There's some good stuff if you're fans of those things, but there's nothing game-changing going on in those. The cat is back, so
you
we
know
may
what?
Have a...
I think this is a perfect time to throw to another commercial.
Yeah, we're going to throw to another commercial.
We'll be right back with more
no
stuff.
No one wants to hear anything about... No, just, yeah, the cat's...
Just a quick break to tell you guys that this podcast is sponsored by Coast City Comics. Coast City Comics is your only independent, 100% independent comic shop. We are working for only us. We are doing... We're making all of our stuff. We're crafting the comic books by hand, weaving little looms, and actually none of that is true, but we are really, really independent, and we need your money, and we need your help, and we need support from you guys, and it's awesome that you guys support us, and we want you to keep doing it. All of our shirts are made in-house, all of our pins and patches and all these things, we make all this stuff, and to keep doing that, we need a bunch of people to continue to come by, and so keep doing that. I know this sounds like a fucking NPR thing, doesn't it? I don't mean to pledge drive yells, but you know what? Maybe I do. Maybe if you enjoy programs like this, and if you enjoy things like the Funbox Monster Emporium magazine, and things like, I don't know, all the other crap that we do, which is a lot of crap. We do so much stuff. Guys, so much stuff. Come and support us. Come play pinball. Come go to our website. Purchase some things from our website. There's got to be something you're looking for. We put all sorts of stuff up on there. Visit CoastCityComics.com. Check out our comic selection, which is pretty vast. If there's something on there that you don't see, give us a call at the store, 207-899-1505, and maybe somebody at the store can help you out. We're open 11 to 8 every day. And, you know, we got some cool things. We do some cool stuff. You guys, we're pretty great. Come see us.
All right, that was a super important break that we just took there.
Yeah, next time our breaks will be slightly more planned.
But yeah, that was really to save you from hearing the cat unplug everything.
Yes, and having to do another retake. So I was just at the end of the DC pile. Also tomorrow, Demon Hell is Earth, number 6, final issue of that series, setting up a new status quo in Hell, which is a theme that will continue
it's a
over
real
into the
theme.
Marvel books.
Oh, that's very exciting.
And then Batman and the Signal, number 3, is the final issue of that 3-issue miniseries by Scott Snyder and Cully Hamner and Tony Patrick. And this, unfortunately, was starting to be a really interesting premise. I like Duke from the Batman comics, and yeah, this is his series. I feel like it's like it was going to go somewhere, but then they decided to do something else with Batman, so they just canceled it. Unfortunate, but it does end and possibly set up stories that will never...
I think it was always a 3-issue.
Nah, it wasn't at first, but
really?
Then it very quickly became one. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but that's what it kind of... They kind of course-corrected to make it a... And also there was a huge delay in between the issues. Well, it got derailed.
It's just funny because Scott Snyder's doing this thing with Duke, and Sean did something with Duke as well in White Knight. So Duke's been kind of like...
Duke's awesome.
He's been kind of front and center. And I think there's going to be a debate as to which of the two of them kind of had the hand in Duke being a character, I'm sure, at some point.
I like the character of Duke, and so his series wraps tomorrow and with that issue, and then the last DC book that I have is the second issue of Mother Panic Gotham AD, which is a young animal set in DC's Young Animal imprint, which is the same imprint that does Doom Patrol. This is that character Mother Panic, who is now transported into an alternate reality, Gotham City. That's a lot of fun. Honestly, the art is really strong in this book.
Joker fights people with balloons.
And loses quickly. it's just kind of, everything's just kind of off. There's Catwoman is in this, but just, kind of everything's kind of off. Again, this isn't a super deep dive. I didn't read this, but it looks great as just a comic. Flipping through it, there was a lot of fun moments, and I look forward to reading this. And so that's DC for me. And then I guess Tristan's all right. Gonna run down the rest of the Marvel books we haven't talked about.
Run down some quick Marvel titles.
My 2 cents.
Despicable Deadpool. Duggan's still writing it, so it's still funny. It's still a decent book. I'm not really paying too much attention to it, but
that was really hard to figure out if it was actually a Deadpool comic or not, because so many of the pages do not involve Deadpool, but involve other Marvel characters that are established, as members of the Avengers and things. But I think that's part of the storyline.
I think the whole point is that they've been so many goddamned Deadpool kills the Marvel universe, or Deadpool kills whatever fictional literary characters. Or
I like the hook where it's like Deadpool has hired. He's put a hit out on himself, and he's trying to just get himself killed. But there was a weird cliffhanger at the end of that throws to the very beginning of the Duggan Deadpool run that was interesting.
Yeah, it's okay. Damnation, Doctor Strange miniseries.
A new Lord of Hell.
There's a new Lord of Hell, and that one's kind of fun.
Over the top.
Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah. If you know what you're in for, if you were looking for this book, you are its target demo.
Yeah.
Avengers No Surrender number 16. I thought this was a 15-part series. Could probably pretty easily have been a 15-part series. This is kind of an epilogue issue.
It's just where all the writers who worked on it are working on different books now, so it's like setting up their different books. This is like the story ended. Am I too far away? I'm too far away. Sorry, I'm not in the other room. I'm present and accounted for. That book is literally, like you said, an epilogue. I'm talking about it too much.
Yeah, but what you can't talk about too much is Lockjaw number 3.
Yeah.
There's nothing in this book that isn't wonderful.
Yeah, that was a surprise. And
also, I think it's pretty much, I wouldn't even say that you need the other two. This one's the most important one, because this one takes place in the animal universe, the world that gives you Dr. Doom and
yes. I would add just really quickly, for that series, it's basically we haven't talked about it before. This is a Lockjaw comic, but he's found and is hanging around with D-Man from the old like kind of Marvel's lovable loser. Guy Demolition Dunphy from the old Captain America. Actually, he first appeared in The Thing when The Thing was a unlimited class wrestler. He's that guy that runs around in Wolverine's costume, but instead it has a D on it. His old original costume. Oh no, it's Daredevil's original. Honestly, it's like who knows whose original costume it is, but it's D-Man, Lockjaw, and in this one they go to the Spider-Ham universe where they meet the unfortunately named Thunderbowl, who is an owl.
He's an owl.
And Thunderball. But
yes.
Think about your names next time.
I love
Thunderbowl.
I think it's the best.
I mean, yeah, they probably did think about it and think it's hilarious.
They thought about it and they were happy.
They thought about it a lot.
Invincible Iron Man 599 is out.
Ultimate Bendis at Marvel.
Yes. And we've got this storyline that brings back, I don't know, should I spoil who it brings in?
Uh I don't think that it would. I don't think anyone would be terribly mad if you spoiled who's in it, because it's actually kind of cool.
It's pretty cool. So I am going to spoil this, so yeah, you can just ignore me
from
here
on. First,
but they're bringing back Leonardo da Vinci.
They're bringing back Leonardo da Vinci
from the original Hickman Shield series, which was so good.
Yep.
And that ties in, because that's why you're going to see the final issue of S.H.I.E.L.D. that never came out, that everyone was waiting for way back in the day.
Yeah,
it looks
like
that's
years.
They're re-releasing the other episode, the other issues as a like a best of kind of thing. And then they're going to release that last one, which is great, because that book was so good. And I'm glad to see it has an ending. And I just love the idea that Leonardo da Vinci started S.H.I.E.L.D.
I also love the idea that there's just a random issue of Marvel comic starring Iron Man where, who are you? Oh, you're Leonardo da Vinci, and you're alive and youthful.
And,
okay.
And my favorite part of all of that is the fact that it really is a throw to a Tick episode where Leonardo da Vinci and his amazing time commanders.
Okay. I never deep dove into the Tick. I probably should.
You should. The cartoon is amazing, and the comic is amazing. But he teams up with a bunch of inventors throughout history.
Nice. Also, I sincerely apologize for using the word deep dive.
Yeah.
One of my pet peeves.
Nice.
I used it myself.
I think you used it twice.
Yeah, did I? I don't know.
Damn.
Never again, I swear.
Okay.
On this.
The never again deep dive.
I swear I will become a bat.
Okay. and the last one is the Thanos Annual.
Yeah.
This is really, it gives you a little bit of some backstory for Gamora. You get a little bit of that story.
Sad, you get horrendously sad backstory for Gamora.
You get
that
the horrendously
depressing.
Sad story for Gamora. And then the rest of it is a lot of little jokey things, which some of which are very funny.
Yeah.
One of which is just basically Cosmic Ghost Rider introducing how petty Thanos is in his cruel deeds, that he just messes with some dude named Dave in his apartment by just like fucking up his relationships. It's pretty great.
Funny.
Yeah. And it also kicks off the Cosmic Ghost Rider series at the end, which is going to be pretty awesome.
I don't know much about Cosmic. I mean, I know Cosmic Ghost Rider exists.
Yeah.
And basically that it's a Ghost Rider in space who is also the Punisher.
Yes. It is Frank Castle, Cosmic Ghost Rider. I'm excited about that. Honestly,
I like when concepts just get piled on top of each other. It really makes me happy.
What's funny about it is that there was a failed series, like a failed mini series that I feel like nobody loves as much as they should. It was one of my favorites. It was called Space Punisher. And
what?
I adored it. He flew around in he had an ultimate nullifier on his ship.
What?
He had all sorts
How do I not know this exists?
I don't know, but it was awesome. And I remember pushing it really hard when it came out, and people were like, hard pass.
I don't know. Probably everybody felt burned after they bought all into Frank and Punisher, and then they immediately pretended it never happened.
I know. And again,
God, I loved that comic.
They're assholes, because that comic
was
so fucking
good.
The second he picks up that little, like, the little moloid that got killed, and he was just like, oh shit, it's on. I was like, there we go. There it is. I'm all in on this. I want to see him murder all of these guys as a giant Frankenstein. This is going to be the best.
Yeah. Okay.
Man, Remender couldn't believe it when we actually told him that we liked that series.
Really?
I feel like he's gotten so much shit for that over the years.
What? Yeah, I mean, I guess I remember there being backlash about it, but I remember just thinking, like, that was back in my old days of when I worked in a different shop than yours, and I loved it.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. I mean, I just felt like it didn't have, after a certain while, it didn't have, like, a push behind it anymore. Like, it was basically, they were just like, oh, maybe people don't like this, we're gonna backtrack, and it was just like, you know, like, anyone was going to ever make the Punisher Frankenstein forever. This thing of, like, you know, Wolverine's dead. It's like, there's nothing is permanent in comics. Just let people have fun. Thor's a girl. You got one of the best Thor runs that has ever existed because of that. You know, like, just quiet down. It's no big deal.
My favorite
Remender in space. He's got an ultimate nullifier. It's all good.
My favorite Remender quote when he was like getting shit for all of that was, "Wait until you see me make Thor into a mummy." And then there was an issue of, I can't even remember what it was, but there it was. Thor was a mummy.
I mean, I think you could. I thought he was joking. Too much mental gymnastics to make Thor a mummy.
I think everybody thought he was joking, and then there was like a monster universe
something.
I think when he was writing Avengers, maybe.
What was it you wanted to talk about with the Monsters Unleashed?
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I'm not gonna spoil anything, but there's a comic out this week that ties into Monsters Unleashed, and I just wanted to bring up the fact that
which one it was.
That Monsters Unleashed is a great book. We have all sorts of back issues of it. Kid Kaiju, little inhuman kid who gets the ability to draw monsters into existence, and they're gigantic, like city destroying kaijus. Mm. And one of them is like a Jet Jaguar type big ass monster robot.
Oh, Jet Jaguar.
They're just awesome. It's a really cool idea. And it's a well-written comic. It's a well-illustrated comic. And it just like it is fun. It's straight up fun comic stuff. And I want more people to read that book.
And if you're one of the people who already does realize that it's a good book, you'll be heartened to know that very soon you will get not a new book of Monsters Unleashed necessarily, but a book full of Monsters Unleashed.
Yes,
that's coming. And if you come into the store, you can figure out which comic sets it up because it's out tomorrow.
And also, I want to constantly, always, ups to Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Yeah, it bums me out.
Especially this Fantastic Four crossover.
It bums me out that you get to have the Marvel comics because I love Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur so much. That is the final issue of the Fantastic Three storyline starring the Thing, and now they're Fantastic Four again because Devil Dinosaur is back. That was what happened at the end of the last issue, and you get in this issue Devil Dinosaur wearing a Fantastic Four costume,
yep,
fighting alongside Galactus and the Silver Surfer against the Super Skrull and a giant cosmic bad guy who's brand new to this storyline, and it ends it. And then the next issue is going to be a Don't Smoke comic.
Yes.
And I don't know. There's just so many ways that this comic rules, and not that, you know, smoke if you want to smoke, you know, whatever, but like they're going to do a Don't Smoke Kids comic. Like, that's great. No one does Don't Smoke Kids comics anymore. It's a genre that was popular when I was young.
Yes, it was. Yeah, Spider-Man was always yelling at me to stop smoking.
Power Pack?
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. They were talking about speak up if you get abused. But, like, you know, socially conscious comics. Like, what's wrong with that? Come on.
Skating on Thin Ice? That was the, I think the heroin one?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Teen Titans had the heroin ones. That was the first ones. And I remember as a 1980s 10-year-old seeking out the Nancy Reagan Teen Titans drug comic because it was the only one of the Wolfman Perez run that I didn't have, and I wanted it so bad. I eventually found it years later for nothing, but you know, at the time it was, you know, that was the one you wanted because it was by them, you know, it was like a part of the run, it was canon.
Oh, wow. So this is going to be another one of those kind of things.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is a little different. I don't know what's going on exactly with this one. But anyway, this particular comic
now,
is
I'm
not
going to
no
guarantee
smoking.
You that it has Nancy Reagan in it.
I hope so.
And that she is not smoking.
And she's a robot.
And she's a robot.
So we did Marvel. We did DC first. So what's left is a quick rundown of some indie books that are out tomorrow. The One Word Review, Saga's out. Saga 51 is out. You know Saga's awesome. You're going to get it. And so then that leads us to...
Are we going to talk about the Exploding Pig comic?
Yes. Okay, really quickly.
Factory's out.
Factory by Elgo from the Statics Press, which is the Titan Comics European comics. This is the Exploding Pig comic that Tristan loved number one of very much. The pigs are still exploding in this issue. All over the place. There's also human face bats and lots
God,
of sound effects.
Book.
Yeah, it's over the top, crazy, very, very, very
it's so gross European. And
it's
European.
Gross. It's super gross.
It's just
these Europeans in there.
It's like,
aw, poor baboon.
Yeah, that poor baboon. It's really like, it's like if Troma took over like Humanoids Press or something for a day. It's wonderful. I love it.
Fuck the pigs, man.
Yeah.
Especially the exploding pigs.
Yeah, they're very bad.
Another one that's out tomorrow that I think is just, you're buying comics for kids, you're looking for a comic for a kid? Mega Man Master Mix number 2 is out. Why should I read Mega Man Master Mix number 2? Because
it
is amazing. It's really good. Oh, I don't know a thing about Mega Man. That is a cool looking comic.
Oh yeah, it's like repurposed manga. It's really cool.
I think it's I don't know anything about it, but I think it's telling the stories of the Mega Man. So if you're a Mega Man fan, you'll know what's going on in this thing. If you're not a Mega Man fan and you just love Bonzo comics, and not Bongo comics, that's Simpsons comics, but like this is just, it's an 80 page, it's a hefty tome. It's like $8, but it's it's badass.
And it reads back to front, which is even more interesting.
It's badass. Super good.
So it really is just, it is just redoing the manga, but the coloring in it rules. Yeah. So the difference between a black and white and this is night and day.
I'll tell you this. Like if I was when I was a kid, I looked for comics that were this cool. And if you are a kid or know a kid, give them this comic. And
if you're
like,
a kid, don't listen to this podcast.
Yeah, that's true. We swear and stuff. And we also tell you that comics are bad, and we don't want you to believe that.
And we and we tell you to smoke and do crack.
Yes, definitely do crack if you are a child.
Yes, remember that.
So a couple... Ice Cream Man number 4.
God damn it, I didn't read that.
Ice Cream Man number 4, vast improvement over number 3, in my opinion.
I like number 3, too.
Much sadder, genuinely sadder than...
Jesus.
Although... So if you're following the Ice Cream Man series, an interesting thing where they basically go full continuity at the end.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a real spoiler because it's not telling you how or why or even what that means. But like there's now continuity and multiple characters within Ice Cream Man.
Yeah.
And it opened the door.
It's awesome.
Liked it. Yeah, it's good.
I love it.
This is a good one. Vast improvement for me over number 3. People already love that comic. So Tristan loves it.
I was not prepared for how graphic that was going to get.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
are people like getting all melty and like.
Yeah. Well, there's also a
body melt
thing where.
Great
I
movie.
I mean, I don't
Watch
know
it.
That I really want to give it away. But
no,
the,
don't.
The,
it's awesome.
Yeah. You got to get
that's,
the.
That's,
the,
a,
but
that's
like,
well worth reading.
There's
it
some
for.
Weird ass shit in that comic. But I liked it a lot. It was good. Tragic, comic, weird. What else do you need? And then two number ones that are out. There's an Aliens from Dark Horse. Aliens Dust to Dust, number 1 of 4.
Yep.
So this was a really good... this is by Gabriel Hardman, who I should be able to recite a bunch of stuff that guy has done, and I can't, but he's really great, and the art is fantastic. If you like the Alien franchise, this is a quality book. I... am not a devoted Aliens fan, but I will pick up something that looks good. Like when Stoko did one, I really
so
liked it.
So I am
this
a devoted
really
Aliens fan, and I actually thought this was cool because I have pretty much read every Aliens comic that has come out.
Yeah.
And this was something new that I hadn't seen before. And it reminds me of, I'm going to get it wrong, but there was a Godzilla story. I think it might have been Godzilla Cataclysm or 100 Year War, one of the two. 100 Year War was the Stoker one, right?
Yeah.
One of them, basically, the story was very little about the actual Godzilla character. It was more about the chaos caused by the existence of Godzilla in this world. And it focused just on these people trying to survive the horrors of this world as they were left. Although you get a lot of aliens in this book, it still is... It's a weird like escape from the. They're just
escape
trying to
from
get
the
out.
Planet of the aliens. It's
right,
very
essentially,
much that.
Yeah.
It's a POV of someone who's surviving an infestation of these things. That's a lot more infestation-ish.
Yeah. It's gotten worse than you would have seen in
it's
any
aliens,
of the movies.
Not alien.
Yes,
For sure. And but it was really good. The art was very 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 good, and the story was very good. I liked it a lot. And then last, this was a book that Tristan, I think, liked.
I sure did.
Well, he liked it. Okay, so I read it and didn't love it. And then you read it And I didn't really read it, you know, like how we're talking about. So like when Tristan told me, here's what the deal is with this, I was like, okay. And I went back into it and I was like, oh, that's really cool. So this is a really cool book. And what we're talking about is Deep Roots, number one from Vault Comics.
Yeah, I was really surprised.
By Roger Waters. By Dan Waters.
There have been a few pretty big misses from Vault, but there have been a bunch of really good ones. And I feel bad because I haven't really supported them the way that I probably should have as a store. Because I overlooked them, and there were some really, really good things that I missed. And this is a really good one, and I'm glad that I gave this one a pretty decent chunk of my money.
Yeah. And you gave it the attention that it needed, because I just did this like quick attack on it, and it's,
yeah.
So this is written by Dan Waters and art by Val Rodriguez. And I don't know if you know who they are. I don't. I've never seen anything from them before.
Vault tends to be a lot of pretty early on in their career types. But, I mean, the art is interesting. And it's an
not
interesting.
Amateurish.
No, not at all. It's a very complex story. The dialogue is great. It is written it's very verbose, but it's also very smart and verbose. I really enjoyed it. It does have a little bit of that like first time writer issue where you're like trying to cram every idea you've ever had into one book, but not in a bad way. Right at the end, it gets a little like, oh shit. Okay. So we've got this one big story arc that's really complex already. And you're like, okay, oh shit, this stuff's going on. And then they just go, oh, by the way, over here, something completely different is going on. And it's huge. It's even bigger than what you were talking about before, and it has nothing to do with anything you've seen yet. I mean, I'm sure it will all pull together.
Okay, yeah. It looks like they're pushing some new number ones as well. We read Wasted Space last week.
Yep.
Looks like there's a few more coming out from Vault.
Yeah, no, Vault is up and coming. I will ignore them no longer because their stuff has been really good. They had a couple series. I'm spacing on the names, but there were a few things that I kind of ordered very low on and then regretted later because they were really, really good.
Yeah, it's a nice looking book. It's got a nice twist. It's just, for me, it's something that you need to spend a little bit of time with. It's not like there was that comic last week, Skyward, that just set everything up beautifully.
And it was like a 30-second read, too.
And it was, which is, you know, so that's the trade-off, I guess, you know, like, but this is a promising new first issue that was out.
It is.
And ended up being the last thing we talked about.
It's very, it's super interesting. I think there's a lot to it. I think that it could go in a lot of different directions. I don't know. We haven't told you anything about it. Essentially, you have this, some sort of, we don't even really know who he is or what he does yet. Some sort of crusader who wakes up in a new form. He's basically being rebuilt after being cast out of something from some giant battle with humanity. And there are crazy plant people that have come.
Yeah.
He's in the modern time, or I guess I'm going to assume
there's guns and
I don't know if it's the future or if it's
like
modern,
that.
But
it looks like modern to me. Everything looks very present day.
And
but
so
there's plant people.
There's a crazy
guns.
Plant people infestation that the government is trying to keep hush hush, and it's infecting people, and people are breathing in spores and becoming infected. And he is somehow supposed to, I believe he's an agent against whatever this infestation is.
Yeah.
And Jenny Greenteeth shows up from out of nowhere, which was kind of interesting.
Oh, that's
too.
Who that is?
I thought that was kind of cool. Huh. Throwing
weird.
In some nice mythology that, you know, we usually only see in Hellboy.
Yeah, the art has a very like Frazier Irving kind of feel to it to me.
It's great. It's an indie book that I don't feel like I see enough of. And I feel like it reminds me of another time when you would get books like that sometimes.
Well, it's interesting how concepts kind of like...
actually, it feels like a Vertigo book from the 90s is
right,
what it feels
yeah,
like to me.
Absolutely. There's another book that was out that we didn't talk about that's also about plant people taking over. Yeah, number two. We talked about it. It's like a zombie book, but instead the zombies are plants. I can't think of what it is. I'll remember next week and talk about it briefly because it's shitty to talk about something.
Yeah, that's
and not know. But there's another book that's kind of like a similar concept. This is hard to classify right off the bat, but I'm curious to see where it goes.
Yeah,
especially after checking it out and seeing where like super, the hook at the end of the first issue.
Super strong first issue. Really excited to see where it goes.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's about it.
Deep Roots.
Yeah, Deep Roots.
So that's again. There's a lot of stuff out. There are tons of books that we just don't have time to talk about. And hopefully this podcast serves as a opportunity for you to go into the store and see the books we missed.
Woohoo!
And then get mad at us for not talking about your favorite one.
Exactly. And there's a free comic book day coming up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Sean's signing's coming up. Go to our Facebook page and take a look.
Yeah.
All sorts of events and all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah, free comic book day is May 5th, Saturday.
Yes. And Paperbacks from Hell is going to be the 4th, I think, of May.
What's that?
Paperbacks from Hell. That is going to be our signing with Grady Hendrix, our event. He's going to be showing Reanimator at the Space Gallery.
Nice.
He wrote a book called Paperbacks from Hell, which is about the exploitation horror paperbacks of the 80s and 90s.
Cool.
It's a brilliant book. He's the guy that wrote My Best Friend's Exorcism, which if it's not turned into a giant major motion picture is like the biggest crime of the century. That book is fucking awesome.
Wow.
He also wrote Horror Store, which I believe was made into a movie, which which is basically a horror movie or horror story set in an IKEA, which is also great.
Nice. Did you know, and I learned this from the 400 million podcasts I listen to at work, but that there are secret passages in every IKEA that like the store people, the people who work there know where they are. But if you look for them, you can find them and you can travel. It's like basically like portals
I'm
that
terrified.
Allow you to move from different areas of the IKEA faster. And I'm obsessed with them and I want to go back to
IKEA amazing.
Just so I can find where they are and then use them. Cause apparently they don't stop you if you figure out where they are.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's just like Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Well, that's a great place to close. So go to our website, check out all the new things that we're doing, and we'll see you next week.
Definitely.